Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
All right, I'm going to get the Macko and Cause podcast started. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Jeff Pollock. Remember, if you need any legal assistance whatsoever, jeffpollock.com is the website. He is our lawyer, he's our sponsor. And the great thing is about Jeff is, boom, you get him, and now all your legal issues, they're dealt with, they're done. You get to move on with your day. What else do you got to do? You know, you can fill the rest of the day just, you know, going shopping, groceries, whatever you need to do. And why am I doing this sort of weird intro in this way? It's because of just scheduling stuff and TTC. Bob and I are going to have a bit of a shorter podcast, but I want to cram as much as I can, cram at least 30 minutes. I mean, we got the Jays to talk about, obviously a crazy week two in the NFL, where I'm going to tell you, I'm doing horribly. I am doing so bad with my picks. Like, just getting massacred out there. But, I mean, I don't think anyone's doing well. I don't think anyone's doing. The Giants are 2-0. The Bengals are 0-2. Tua Tagovailoa is doing things we haven't seen since Dan Marino. You try to figure it out. And also, I got a Leafs thing that I want to discuss with Bob as well. Because I think I get nitpicky. So only but a couple things that athletes say. And here comes triumphant Bob Mackowitz, surviving the TTC, surviving the rain and the elements. Bob, how many different streetcars did you have to take to get from your place to my place, which in theory you can do it with just one. Do it just one.
It was two. It was just two, Matt. I think it was more the time spent waiting for those streetcars to show up. Ugh. You know what? Honestly, we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
So let's just dive right in. I've got a bit for you.
Yep.
Called 10 questions for Matt.
Okay, and I got a Leafs thing for you.
Okay, well, let's do some questions and then see where we go.
Done and done. Go.
First question, NFL.
Yep.
Rank them.
Okay.
In order from bottom to top.
Okay.
Best comeback of the day. Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Jets.
Yep.
Dolphins. From third, second, first.
Okay.
Wait, before you answer.
Yeah.
Best comeback.
Yeah.
Which can mean the game itself, but also what we learned in that game.
Okay, number three is, okay, what we learned. Because, see, those are different things.
Right, that's why I wanted to stipulate.
We didn't learn. Okay, the number three is the most remarkable one. It's the Browns. We didn't learn shit. The Browns are the Browns. What happened to them? Trailing or leading by 13 with under 2 minutes to go. No team has ever come back from that sort of deficit since 2001. And the team that lost then was the Browns back in 2001. So we learned nothing from them. Number two is the Cardinals. That one's remarkable because at the end of the half, Cards are down 20-0 to the Raiders, and everyone says Cliff Kingsbury needs to be fired. At the end of the game, it's now Josh McDaniel, the coach of the Raiders, who needs to get fired. But that was definitely a, oh God, what's going on with Kyler? Because remember, last year ended shitty, horrible playoff loss to the Rams. But number one has got to be Miami and Baltimore. It is the number one story today because what do we love? We love the story of wideout, young wideouts doing things. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Tua Tagovailoa, who we've been waiting for because we watched him at Alabama. Like, this guy was one of the few college players that even Canadians knew about. We don't know much about college football. So I'd say that's number one.
I actually would agree with that assessment. And let's take it in order just quickly. So the Jets over the Browns, what did we learn? Well, we learned that the Browns suck. I think because of this whole Deshaun Watson mess, everybody's quietly cheering against the Browns this year. They were the feel-good team.
Yeah.
And then they found a way to take Baker Mayfield and then get worse from that.
Yes.
So, look, not to be childish about it, but nobody likes the Browns.
No.
Arizona was interesting. I actually flipped on that game with about 4 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like it was going to be a depressing day for the Cardinals.
It did.
But then, like, that final, and, you know, I think that Las Vegas has some questions to answer, but just the way he commanded the presence of those final few plays Kyler Murray did, I thought for sure, it's funny, I felt like there was so much riding on that 2-point conversion. Like, how do we look at this guy?
Yeah.
Because you want to believe he's a winner.
Yes.
He's an exciting player.
Yes.
You want to believe he's a winner.
We all want to invest in Kyler.
100%. But we, you know, like you said, last year there was some issues, and then you start thinking, oh, maybe he's not, doesn't have the right coach. But honestly, small guy who loves to scramble, who's dynamic, usually doesn't work out. Not in the long haul. And it felt like, oh, we're just watching this story again. So I feel like he saved his reputation a little bit. But, oh, and I say this as a guy who's got a team in the AFC East. Hooey. The Dolphins.
Okay, my first thought there is not the Bills, and we'll get to it. By the way, next week it's Bills Miami. Yes, Bills Miami. It's Tua versus Tua versus Josh Allen. But imagine you're Bill Belichick. Now you squeaked out a win basically because Mac Jones had an interception dropped, and then soon after that, Pittsburgh muffed a punt return, and New England's able to fart out a win. If you're Belichick and you're looking in the division and you see what Josh Allen and Buffalo is doing, and then you see what Tua is doing with those receivers, and Miami has a good defense. Miami had back-to-back winning seasons. They couldn't get enough wins to get in the playoffs. But imagine, forget about what Sean McDermott and Josh Allen are thinking. What do you think Belichick is thinking right now, looking at that AFC East, where even the Jets got a win with Joe Flacco throwing four touchdown passes?
Here's what I imagined. I imagined Al Pacino's character in Any Given Sunday, just the old, tired, formerly great coach who's like, do I still have to put up with this shit?
Yes. Oh, and then what did Al do at the end? Mm-hmm. He left. They won the one playoff game, then they got killed, and then his end-of-season presser, he was leaving to go join Jamie Foxx, I think, on some expansion team.
It was an expansion team. He did the presto changeo right at the end.
He did. He's like, peace. Maybe that's what Belichick should do. Maybe
I have a whole bit I wanted to do about recasting Any Given Sunday, given players from today's game.
Oh, my God.
And Bill Belichick was going to be my Al Pacino.
Yeah, Gus D'Amato? Was that the name?
It was Gus something.
Something. No, that's like Mike Tyson's trainer.
Yeah, Customato, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, I'm an idiot.
Who's the Cap Rooney? Who's the old guy who's just barely hanging on?
Oh, God. We got to save that for like a slow
We'll
day.
Do it another day.
Yeah, that
we'll
one,
do it another
yeah,
day.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. But you know what? Here, this will set up question number two because it kind of goes to this.
Yeah.
Who's your MVP so far after two games, or mostly two games? There's a couple tonight. And I throw this out there because Tyreek Hill looks pretty good.
Yeah, you can absolutely make a case for it because in the win against New England, Tua looked like shit. Mm-hmm. It was Tyreek Hill saving and making like crazy tough catches.
And Jalen Waddle doesn't have the day he has unless you're terrified about what Tyreek Hill can do.
Yeah.
I go back to the final drive with the Chiefs and the Bills last year and just watching Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce just fucking carve.
Yeah.
When you got weapons like that, it makes everybody else better.
Yep, 100%. We'll take quarterbacks out of it because then you can just do Woods Mahomes or this or that. I think Tyreek Hill's a great one. Absolutely. And also, because Tyreek Hill, going into the Ravens game, he was trash-talking the Ravens defense. Like, he is giving Miami swagger. And Miami hasn't had good offense, like, literally since Dan Marino. We've had 25 years of every Miami game being 20-16. This is a completely different squad.
That's a really important point, and it's not a tangible thing, but it feeds into narrative, and voters love narratives.
Yeah.
Miami, to me, is the definitive 8-8 team.
Yes.
That is got a two-thirds full stadium of people who are at the beach or they're more interested in college football.
Or the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat ripped away in terms of the pro level. The Heat took over for the Dolphins.
They got shitty ownership. They had a whole bunch of like celebrity by committee ownership at one point. They just feel a little rudderless, which is weird because growing up with Dan Marino being who he was, they were a marquee franchise.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're bad. I just feel like they're in the wilderness. They're in NFL purgatory. They're neither shit nor good, but now they feel kind of good, and the swagger is a really important part of it.
It is. They already had a good defense. Now they get this innovative coach, and it just comes down to, like, we've all been waiting for Tua, and now can Tyreek Hill be the final thing that opens it up? Jalen Waddle in his second year, it's stunning. It was stunning to see that. I know Baltimore's beat up and in the secondary, but to come back from that, like, and that's another thing, is that Miami was a team that never won games when they were down because they didn't have an offense to do it. They were down by double digits late in the game, and they were able to do it. And they were able to do it fast. That is something we've never seen from them.
For years, Miami was the, oh, they just didn't make it. What's Jason Taylor going to do with his career?
Yeah, team? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, this leads nicely. You mentioned about the innovative coach. Who's the best coach QB connection in the NFL
I'll
right
tell
now?
You, spoiler alert, it's not Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. Spoiler, it is not the team that did a tight end around on a 3rd-and-1 yesterday and barely beat the Houston Texans. Yet another game I got wrong on my picks. Woo! But, okay, so who are the ones?
Are you asking me? I'm asking you. These are questions for Matt.
Oh, okay, sorry.
This is question three. I should have been more specific.
No, I thought because I have options. Again, I love the only good thing about being delayed on the TTC, just you come in. You just come in as go full producer. It feels like it's the obvious answer, but it feels like it has to be Mike McDaniel and Tua. It has to be like Mike McDaniel saying, yeah, we drew up this play called the fuck it play that my quarterback loves. And we did it on 3rd-and-10 when we're down by a bunch of points, and it worked. Like if I'm spinning the wheel of like dynamic coach, it has to be that. It's not going to be the Bengals, who are 0-2 and that offensive line looks as bad as they were last year.
You'd love for it to be McVay and Stafford because he's the new Mike Martz. He's supposed to be the brilliant mind, but...
It's not,
I don't think either of them are there yet.
No, they can't run the ball, and Stafford another 2 interceptions. Hey, good for you. You beat Atlanta, but that was a game you should have blown out. No, right now the sexy thing, it's McDaniel and Tua.
And I want to say, especially as a Bills enthusiast, that it's McDermott and Allen.
But that was a couple years ago. It was McDermott and Daboll and Allen. But that was last year. And we can always talk about just Josh Allen went from the guy who completed 56% of his passes to the guy who's like 68-70. It's incredible. But the flavor of the month has to be what's going on in Miami.
Okay, so question number 4, and this one's especially for you and your 2-0 Giants, Maddie.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're doing it.
No one does.
They are winning ugly.
Yeah.
How many wins will Brian Daboll be worth this year? As coach, specifically.
Yeah.
How many will he be worth this year?
I guess at least 3, which is a lot. Maybe even 4 wins. You know, it's... I'd still trade Saquon Barkley today. I would still trade him and get whatever you could. They beat Tennessee because the Titans kicker missed an easy field goal late. They beat Carolina because their kicker made all the field goals. And they're winning ugly. And if you look at all the stats... The Giants aren't that good. But at the same point, going cliche here, you need some momentum. You need some feel good. You need some belief that you actually can do well. Because over the last 8 years, the Giants and the Jets have the worst record in the NFL. And so this is I feel so thrilled for these players that have been shit on for so long. But I mean, these are not impressive wins.
You know, I generally don't watch the pregames. I don't. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a bunch of men in expensive suits yelling and pretending to like each other.
Hey, Bob, you know how you win in the National Football League? You got to get to the quarterback. Oh, by the way, this just in, you got to be able to pressure the quarterback.
Yeah. But there was a good point, actually, about how...
Ooh, good point.
Kind of. It surprised me.
Yeah.
It's like,
Cal Ripken's streak is over.
just like the Giants, kind of like the Dolphins, have been so mediocre to shitty for so long that these ugly wins, like, eventually the talent will catch up with them. Mm-hmm. Eventually the scheming will become second nature, all of these things. But just being able to gut out shit wins, like, I think about the Leafs when they did their big turnaround, the P.A. Parenteau year, where they sucked, but they lost a lot of 3-2 games.
Yep.
And you go, okay. When a team is trying to rebuild, you don't expect them to win all the time, but what you do want is you want them to always be competitive, because we see what happens when young players or new teams trying to turn the corner just get the shit kicked out of them. You don't get used to fighting in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You don't get used to fighting with 7 minutes left in the third period. Eventually, the talent will catch up to that. That's just the way the draft works. Mm-hmm. If you're New York, the way free agency works. But the idea that you're never out of a game, I think, transforms a team. And again, this is like, we could call this all narrative Monday, but I do think you have to learn how to like winning before you can actually do it.
You hear that cliche for decades and decades and decades from every player, coach, and executive. There has to be some truth to it, no matter how much more the analytics, younger community want to tamp that down. Part of it is just muscle memory. I'm going to be signing up for the Bordeaux Marathon for next year. And, I'm going to have to get into way better shape. But the one thing I feel good about, I've done like 7 marathons. So, like, I do have some of that muscle memory of just what's required. So there is, and again, I would never compare myself to a professional athlete, even in jest. But there is something to that. So good on the Giants for getting it. And like the first 2 weeks, there's been more like 3-point or like one score games. They've set like a record for it. So if every game is close, you're looking for the advantage, and the advantage is Brian Daboll's better than Joe Judge.
All right, question number 5, a bit of a different tack here after 4 straight NFL questions.
Yep.
Do you, Matt Cause, think that acknowledging your IG posts are douchey makes you less of a D-bag yourself?
No, because that's clearly just, you're just trying to get cover, and you're trying to get false cover. Obviously, you're talking about I sabered a bottle of sparkling Rose Hall Run Celebration Sparkling. Damn, is that good. Like, good for you, the whole Sullivan crew. But I sabered it with a butter knife. I didn't do it with, like, a fancy dagger or sword. I did the common man thing where I just grabbed a butter knife, and on 2 attempts, I sabered it.
So I know you love my family, so I'm not trying to make you feel guilty about this. Don't take that as the message here.
Oh, boy.
But Tuesday, my mom went into hospital.
Oh, no.
No, she's okay.
Okay, good.
She's okay.
Good.
It didn't look good. We weren't sure. Yeah, but, like, she looks okay. But she's been there. So I was in the hospital for 3 straight days.
Yeah.
I took a day off so my daughter could go to a soccer tournament.
Yeah.
She hyperextended her big toe, so we spent 9 hours at Sick Kids. It was about 2 in the morning, and Sandra holds up the phone to me. And it's you fucking sabering a champagne.
Well, technically, Bob, it's sparkling. You can't call it champagne.
Yeah,
it's
sorry. Not champagne. My fault, clearly.
Yeah. No, but you've been going through a lot. I could see how you could forget that.
Right.
Oh, my God. Sandra did that?
She just, like, looked at me, and I don't want to do the face for you because
I've seen that face. You know,
and she just holds the phone up.
Yeah.
And you're happily sabering away on the deck of your cottage.
Yeah. I'd like to apologize to the Mackowitz family. Extended Mackowitz family to your father, one of most of the important person people in pop culture creation in Toronto over the last 50 years. To your lovely wife, one of the smartest, funniest people I know. To your daughter,
Matt,
you know, yeah.
Don't apologize because you don't mean it. Okay, moving on. We're at the end of summer.
Yeah.
Technically, we're about to start fall.
Yeah.
What is a good end of summer wine? If somebody wants to drink a wine tonight in honor of the summer that was and the fall that is about to begin.
Okay, so we need something in the medium, not something hot and crisp, not something too dark.
But not too dark because it's not fall yet.
No, exactly.
This is the transition.
Right. Okay, the hipster in me says go find some, Saint Laurent. Go find yourself a nice Austrian red, maybe some Blackenfrosch, and that's a real word. I didn't make it up. Closer to home, get yourself an Ontario Gamay, or if you want to do a Pinot, not California, too dark, go New Zealand Pinot Noir. So there's some options.
Question number 7. Cowboys, pull out a win.
Yeah.
Dead cat bounce, or can their D actually save them a couple more wins with a game manager playing quarterback?
Oh, their D can absolutely. Like, Peter King is now using Lawrence Taylor to describe Micah Parsons. He's that good. Like, he's the best defensive player in football. No offense to Aaron Donald out there. Yeah, they can. They have good enough weapons on offense. They have pass rushers on defense. They face the Giants, and I think it's in Dallas. I'd say Dallas has more talent. Cooper Rush has only made 2 starts, but he's done well in both of them. Absolutely, like, this is all Dallas needs to do is tread water because the NFC, there is no dominant team. All they got to do is tread water, and they can be relevant late in the year.
Football is always better when there's a quarterback who you didn't expect to be good who goes on a nice little run.
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has been that guy in the past. Ryan Tannehill has been that guy in the past. Gardner Minshew.
Yes. Oh, we all love that Minshew moment.
Right.
Those Minshew months.
Right. There's just something nice about a guy who over the course of, say, 3 to 5 games, plays pretty well, wins a game or two on his own with a last-minute drive, and just kind of fades off into obscurity. Like, like Nick Foles is kind of like the number
Foles
one
is
example.
He's number one example.
Right.
You cannot do better than Nick Foles.
Question number 8.
By the way, just to add to that, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, well, I was going to say, that was actually question number 8 is, as sad as it is, did Trey Lance's injury just improve the Niners' chances to make the playoffs?
Yes, absolutely did.
When was the last time a starting quarterback went down and their chances went up to make the playoffs.
Maybe the Los Angeles Chargers when the doctor stabbed Tyrod Taylor, but and he's actually suing now the Chargers doctor, and in came Justin Herbert. Oh, no, no. This is incredibly unique. But I've been this whole summer, I've been saying the most unique story is the 49ers. They go to the Super Bowl. Three years ago, they go to the NFC Championship game last year, and they tell the quarterback that got them there, who's good, not great, get out, go train on your own, go into solitary confinement. We're going to give the ball to a guy who's only had a couple passes in his entire career. No, absolutely. The floor got raised, but the ceiling didn't go up as well. But there's a lot of talent on that team if George Kittle could ever be healthy.
Okay, I got a couple more. One football, one not. I'll do the football first. Yeah. Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers? Who do you think could hold a grudge longer?
Oh, my God. I've been thinking about that. Oh, they're angry. I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers because he's had longer for it because he's had family issues for decades, while it seems like Tom Brady has a very healthy relationship with his. So I'll give it to Aaron Rodgers.
I would give it to Aaron Rodgers as well. They both started off behind somebody else, but yep. Because Drew Bledsoe went down, Tom Brady never had to get mad.
Yeah.
Plus, he was a sixth round pick mm-hmm. as opposed to the first rounder, Aaron Rodgers, who had to wait for Brett Favre to never, ever, ever leave.
Yeah.
So he kind of started angry
yeah.
and has stayed angry.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the Hulk. Mm. His secret is he's always angry.
And the best thing is it doesn't matter what sort of medication or Zen thing Aaron Rodgers is on. All it takes is one muffed fumble, and he's just MFing all over the field.
You feel like he's the kind of guy, if you sat him down and showed unequivocally that meditation would make him happier, he would say, thanks, I'm good.
Yeah. He's the only one who's meditating. He's angry as he's meditating. He's meditating, and his meditation isn't some spirit animal. It's his wide receiver's inability to create separation.
All right. Final one is actually a kind of a big question about Toronto sports.
Okay.
So Jordan Romano blows the game yesterday, and that was sad. But honestly, it was a really good game. Like mm-hmm. just sort of flipping between that and football, a lot of big at-bats, a lot of dramatic plays. And I started to think about how everybody's on the Jays. Like, they're so mad at the Jays. They're not performing. They're under-delivering. These young guys, the fuck is wrong with them? Yeah. Jays did this to me again. But if you try to tell these same people that the Leafs have a historically bad run of losing in the playoffs and these young guys have actually achieved sweet fuck all, people will defend the Leafs but will happily rip the Jays, who actually are at the beginning of this journey and are learning how to win.
Yeah.
Why are we so hard on the Jays, but those same fans will be so easy on the Leafs?
I think it's expectation. A couple things. I think it's expectation management. And when Vlad said last year was a preview, this is the real one. Now the expectation's gone up. Those guys, even though Bo Bichette, man, has been on a heater, their seasons have been down a little bit. I think also part of it is 162 games. We have twice the amount of opportunity to just get ticked off. So I think there's a culmination of that. And then also when defense of the Leafs, I think a lot of that is youth plus Twitter plus youth getting angry at mainstream media. So it's them putting a defensive wall around Kyle Dubas, who is their spirit animal.
I have a separate idea, but I want to just throw this out here. The Jays right now are set to make the postseason.
Yes.
They will probably do it. They're two games up on Tampa Bay. Fingers crossed.
By the way, almost historic collapse for them not to. They've got like a 98% chance of making the playoffs.
Right. They're probably going to make it.
Yes.
And in a lot of divisions, it would have been even more competitive, but the Yankees started so hot that, apart from the Dodgers, who really could have caught them?
Yeah.
In all of baseball. Aaron Judge is now just two home runs away from the American League home run title. Are we cheering for Aaron Judge?
We are, because then if people say this is the true home run record, somewhere Barry Bonds is going to be pissed off. And I'm just here for angry Barry.
So you and I have lived long enough in the AL East to know the Jays have a lot of tough games.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Where the fuck did Baltimore come from?
Yep.
Down here for the Red Sox, but you've got three other teams who range between good to best in baseball.
Yep.
And you've got a lot of games against these teams. There's not a lot of gimmies in the AL East. It is tough. And yet the Jays are primed for the postseason.
Yes.
And they're young.
Yeah.
And they're young.
Mm-hmm.
They've got at least like a Bo, a Vladdy. They've got 7, 8, 9 years of prime baseball ahead of them.
Yep.
And they're signed, like Vladdy. Like
Vladdy's saying he wants to get signed. Maybe that's because his year this year is not as good as last year.
I don't know if he wants to sign after this season.
Yeah, maybe wait one more year.
But here's my thought. Because great players in hockey almost never really leave. If you say to somebody, Austin Matthews, he could go. They'll go, get out of here. He's not going anywhere. No one ever goes anywhere in hockey. Now, Tavares, Goudreau, maybe things are going to change. But historically, once you have a team, they tend to be your team for a long time. Pretty much for as long as you want them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But baseball, we've all lived through the revolving door of the 90s where we had good players and then they were gone. I think there's a latent anxiety for this team because we have more anxiety for win now with the Jays because who knows what the future looks like. I don't know if that's why we're harder on them, but like if I said to you, in 3 years, I bet Vladdy will want to be out of Toronto. Mm-hmm. Would you go, I could never see that happening?
Oh, no, of course I could see it happening.
Right. Absolutely. Or Bo Bichette. Or yeah. Alek Manoah,
yeah.
Or any of these great players that have popped up because, you know, we love David Price. Then David Price was gone.
Yeah.
And he's just like the first name that popped to mind. I kind of feel like there's an impermanence with the Jays where you just feel anxious and it feels like, okay, no. This team can do it. I know this team can do it. The Leafs are going to be the Leafs forever. They'll be the Leafs for the next 10 years. We keep swapping coaches.
Yeah.
But the players... We got him for 10 years.
Yeah, we do.
It's a journey.
It's a horrible journey. I will say this. Just get Bo, Vlad, and Manoah. Just get them locked up long term. There's no salary cap.
But baseball's so weird. You know what
I know.
You
know Juan Soto's been shit since he got traded to the Padres. And you know, we've seen it with baseball. So many guys, Strasburg. There's so many players that they get the long-term deal, and then they're bad. But
every once in a while, a Max Scherzer pops up or a Justin Verlander, and somebody's good in the beginning, middle, and end of their career.
Yeah.
But it just really doesn't happen all that often. You kind of got to make hay while the sun shines. I looked at the Chicago White Sox, who for a few years were everyone's favorite pick to be the next ascendant team. They're not going to make the playoffs. How mad do you think their fan base is? Baseball is such a, like, as crazy and luck-driven as hockey is, I can't think of any other sport where at the beginning of the season you go, I don't know.
Well, no, that's baseball. I mean, the Cardinals won a World Series with like 84 wins. I think it's the illusion of the window for winning. It's, you know, it's never as large as we think it is. But then on the other end, sometimes like, there's no way they're going to win. Like, hey, wait a minute. Why are they winning? You know, the Red Sox, like last year, were two games away from like going to the World Series. And now they're in last place in the American League East.
Young players are so hard to fall in love with in baseball. You know what I did for some weird reason?
Mm.
I looked up the Lansing Three.
Who are they again?
No, exactly, because I forgot the third guy.
Yeah.
Noah Syndergaard.
Yep.
Aaron Sanchez. Justin Nicolino.
That's right.
And they were going to be the future of the rotation.
Yeah.
And one guy had an okay career. Well, one guy had a good career.
Yeah, Noah Syndergaard
Career.
Good career.
Aaron Sanchez had a great year.
Yep. Aaron Sanchez had a great year. We all do it. Hey, led the AL and ERA. Remember that? Led the AL and ERA. And then...
But don't fall in love with them.
Don't fall in love. But we only have like 2 minutes. We got like 3 minutes left. The idea of not falling in love with them. What's the point of being a sports fan unless we fall in love with them? That's what we love about sports.
It's Jay's anxiety, though.
Mm.
You want Vladdy to be to us what Mike Trout has been to Anaheim.
Yeah.
You want that.
Yeah.
But the Jays don't have a history of that. In fact, what we do have a history of is those guys don't stay.
Yeah. I can't do it. I can't. No, I'm going like right now. I have nothing but pessimism about the Maple Leafs. And like, you know me, for doing this podcast for years and years and years, I was on the ice going, you know what? They can do it. They can win it all this year. I have so much pessimism for the Maple Leafs. But I actually feel better about the Jays, and especially Vlad saying what he did. And baseball, you can give these crazy 13-year deals. Just, you know, get everyone locked up. But it comes down to I need to love these players.
My explanation might be shit. It might just be a completely random and separate observation.
Could be you waiting that long for the second streetcar.
Maybe, yeah, that's a good point. And wet because it was raining. I just think it's so interesting now that the Leafs have lost six times in the first round with these players.
Yeah.
And nobody is as mad at them as the team that's actually going into the postseason with young stars who are actually at the beginning of their careers.
I think, though, you underestimate. There is the anger. It's just not on social media.
Well, that might be true.
Yeah.
Because on Twitter, where everything is run through the prism of analytics, they actually won last year.
They did.
Did you know?
I did.
Yeah, because apparently outplaying the other team and only losing by one goal is actually winning. Oh. I didn't know. I thought you had to have more wins at the end of seven games, but apparently if you outplay the other team, you actually win.
We don't have time for it because... Christ.
Now, you've got bottles to saber.
I got bottles to saber. Wow. By the way, once again, emotionally, that contrast to what you are going through versus me. So you got no joy to the fact that I finally got to experience joy?
8 hours in the ER waiting to be seen for an X-ray on my daughter's foot. And she's like passing out in the wheelchair because she's so tired. And we keep being told, just we'll be there. We'll be there soon. Just hang on. And Sandra's flipping through her phone. And there's happy little Matt. Happy little Matt with his delicious little cramon. Well, oh, look how fun it is to open the bottle this way. Ooh, it spritzes everywhere.
I'm assuming you were doing that in honor of the passing of the queen. But good news, Bob. The mid-palate was bold and fruit forward.
Matt, we were so worried you weren't going to enjoy it. Goodbye, we were so worried.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.